More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The biggest stars in country music will be taking the stage at our 2024 iHeart Country Festival, presented by Capital One.
iHeart Country.
Jason Aldean. Keith Urban. Jelly Roll. Old Dominion. Lady A. Riley Green. Ashley McBride. Brothers Osborne. Walker Hayes. All hosted by Bobby Bones at Austin's Moody Center. Saturday, May 4th. Stream only on Hulu. Starting at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores.
Stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on.
But we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.
Welcome to today's edition of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast.
Welcome in, everybody, to the Friday edition of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show. The Buck is back, at least vocally, Clay. Thank heavens. I appreciate everybody's patience with that earlier in this week. We have so much to talk to you all about. First off, the guests we have lined up for today. Our friend Ben Dominich, he is the publisher of The Federalist, a great website, honestly one of my favorite conservative opinion sites out there. And he has news to break on this show. A big court case came down that he's involved in. So we'll be talking to Ben about that and also politics. He's a very astute observer. I'm sure you've seen him on Brett Baer's panel during the 6 o'clock hour on Fox many times. And we've got, oh gosh, so much more. We also have Josh Hawley, who voted against the $40 billion for Ukraine and had quite, you know, Senator Hawley, of course, quite a throwdown with Granholm, the Secretary of Energy, on the price of gas. We'll discuss that. And then Jonathan Isaac of the Orlando Magic in the third hour about him standing for freedom and refusing to bend the knee. So that's all coming up. And then in terms of stories, a lot going on here. In the Womp Womp file, Clay, Bill de Blasio is running for Congress.
I wanted to ask you about this because is Bill de Blasio, like he wanted to run for governor. He wanted to run for president. Didn't he run for president? He ran for president, right?
His superpower, Clay, is being completely unself-aware. At a superhuman level, he is unself-aware.
Is there anyone out there? Does he have any fan base? Like, I've never heard anybody be like, hey, you know who I really like? Bill de Blasio. I mean, anywhere, on any level of the political spectrum, it's really remarkable to be the mayor of New York City and have no, twice, and have no one actually like you. And to your point, to be so unself-aware, there's nobody clamoring for him to ever be involved in politics again. He has no fan base, it seems to me.
So we'll come back to Billy de Blasio in a little bit. Also known as Warren Wilhelm, which was his name until his 20s, by the way. He changed his name in his 20s, which I always think is such a little-known fact. Changed his name entirely. But first off, Elon Musk, everybody. I mean, Clay and I are both, look, what Elon's trying to do is so important, not just for our business, I think for the country. We've talked to you about why Twitter is so important for the media narrative. It is the closest thing to a town square that exists right now in the digital realm. And Elon said, Clay, he said, they're coming for me. I mean, he's been putting out tweets for weeks,
yep,
saying that there's going to be some hit job against him. And here you go from the Daily Mail. Elon Musk says he claims he paid $250,000 to silence SpaceX flight attendants. 2016 sexual harassment claims are from a far left activist / actress with a political axe to grind to stop him from buying Twitter. He challenged openly the liar to describe his naked body on Twitter, which is quite a challenge. It's quite a gauntlet to throw down, so to speak. And you know what, my man? This is Blasey. I mean, I'm sorry. I'm not buying it. Blasey Ford 2.0. It's so clearly timed. It's so desperate. And I think Elon's going to keep on pushing past this nonsense.
Okay, so let's break this down for just a moment. Elon Musk announces that he's going to vote Republican for the first time in his life. And within 24 hours, there is a story accusing him of sexual assault, that they're trying to say is sexual assault. So I read this story, and here's how I would break it down. I'm going to put my lawyer hat on for you. First of all, Buck, and not a lot of people noticed this, but the story is hearsay. The woman who allegedly is saying that she was mistreated is not the source of the story. It's a friend of the woman who is alleging that she was mistreated. So the person who is telling the story to this news outlet is not the actual woman who was even involved in this story. It's a level removed. Her comments may not even be admissible in a court of law because, again, it's hearsay. There are certain hearsay exceptions that we could run through. Okay, so let's start there. Two, the allegations in the story are not sexual assault. So even if you take them as truthful, this is not any way sexual assault. Three, the allegations are ridiculous. It sounds like a joke. Elon Musk said he would buy a woman a horse if she was interested in engaging in some sort of amorous activity with him. Now, I think this is just, like, I read that and I kind of spit out my drink when I was reading it because I don't know. I mean, we've got a lot of women who are listening to us right now, Buck. Has there ever been a time where a man has won your heart by offering to buy you a horse? I mean, it sounds like such a ridiculous joke to make, right? Like, and also, what kind of horse are we talking about? The story doesn't specify, but my first thought is there's a wide range of horses, right?
Yeah, it's like, a pony and Arabian thoroughbred.
That's right. That's right. There's a big difference in the value of the horse, but I can't imagine there ever being any woman who I have ever met that they would be impressed if I offered to buy them a horse. It sounds like a joke, particularly because she used to ride horses. And then the payment here is $250,000, which to people out there who are maybe not involved in the legal process, $250,000 might sound like a lot. You cannot even combat a sexual harassment allegation without paying far in excess at a major corporation like this, or for a major individual like Elon Musk, far in excess of $250,000. So a lot of times people just say, hey, this is a rounding error.
So is this a nuisance yeah, payment?
That's exactly right. The amount of time that Elon Musk would have to spend on this, $250,000 to Elon Musk is like, Buck, you or me paying $20, right? Just to be, I mean, it's like going for coffee for him because of his wealth. And when you're paying, and you know this, but a lot of people out there don't realize it, every lawyer that Elon Musk ever pays is probably a $1,500 yep. or more dollar an hour lawyer
yes.
for people out there. So, you know, if you have them work on a case for 20 or 30 hours, which I used to do sexual harassment investigations, it's almost impossible not to spend that amount of time on these cases at a minimum. This is a total nuisance case. And I would just say this. He's been a public figure, Elon Musk has, for 25 years now. It took him 24 hours of being a Republican for somebody to come out and accuse and be published him as being inappropriate when it comes to women.
It's just so obvious what's going on here. I mean, it's obvious yes. because Elon said, hey, guys, you know what's going to be obvious? When they come at me with something, when someone dredges up something in order to stop me from purchasing Twitter, look at the fear. I've said this in the beginning, Clay. It's so illuminating just to watch how terrified the Democrat apparatus overall, politicians, media figures, news people, they're terrified at not having their hand on the scale of the digital public square. It sends them into a frenzy. Elon has never said there's going to be reprisals against the left. We're going to balance things out. We're going to take a look at the historical inequities of Twitter and decide that we're going to silence the other side. He's just said, look, we're not going to play games anymore and pretend that we're doing free speech when we're not. And they are in a frenzy over this.
That's right.
And I think you're going to see, even though it's obvious, they will go forward not only with this kind of an accusation. Federal regulators are thinking about how they can get involved. The Biden administration, I'm sure, has people at DOJ and looking at this as some kind of an antitrust possibility. I mean, there's all sorts of tricks they're going to try to pull, all to prevent the richest man on the planet. I mean, Jeff Bezos buys the Washington Post. Fantastic.
Journalism
is going to be done. Elon wants to buy Twitter, make it free speech. It is DEFCON 1 for these lunatics.
Yeah, and I think the one positive is everybody knows the game and how it's played now. So this accusation seems to have landed with just kind of a thud and nobody really cared, right? And I think because of obviously people who listen to this show know what Rush went through over the years with people coming after him on a personal level. But to your point,
the government,
on Brett Kavanaugh.
And the tax authorities, the IRS,
and everybody else. And we talked about the fact that when we took this show, at some point, I'm kind of stunned, Buck. I don't know about you. Given the influence this show has and the audience that you guys tune in every single day, I expected in the first year that somebody would come after us, guns blazing. I mean, I talked to you about this once our names were announced that somebody was going to try to come after us and do hit pieces. So far, we're a year in. And nobody's really come after us, but this is the game they play. This is the way that they try to destroy you if you don't sign up. I mean, think about this. Elon Musk has gone from a hero of the left to someone that they are trying to destroy based on simply believing in content neutral policies. That's all he's done. He hasn't said like, hey, I'm a far right ideologue. He's just saying, I want Twitter to treat everybody evenly, regardless of what their political opinions are. And this is such a rigged game at Twitter that they are terrified of just content neutral policy.
And I think there's another component of this that everyone should be aware of in the background. They're so terrified of free speech as a general principle now, as we know. The left there is no longer foundational agreement between Democrats and Republicans, between left and right, on free speech as a value, as a good, that we can agree on what it is. Because they'll say, oh, well, hate speech is not. And then you say, well, if I'm opposed to illegal immigration, is that hate speech? Yeah, it sounds like hate speech to me, right? They do not believe in, and there's of course much worse hate speech or actual hate speech that
but
is protected under
think
the First
that
Amendment.
I should be able to say that men should compete against men and women could compete. That's hate speech.
They're completely insane. But in the background of this also, they say that the world is going to melt down because of climate change and it's an existential threat. That is their phrase. Obama has said it. Biden has said it. Elon Musk is doing more, in a sense, to combat climate change than any other individual. Not that I think climate change needs to be combated, but put that aside. He is doing more with Tesla.
It's impossible for any individual to have done more than
he has. And they will destroy him if they can to protect their speech advantage online. That's how much they care about this. Forget about the fact he's done more than any other human being on the planet for the issue that they say is existential to fight against that.
They will
ruin this guy's life and reputation so that they can run around pretending like they're more popular online and their ideas aren't insane. That's how they are.
It's 100% right. And that's why there are a lot of Elon Musks out there. I'm about 6 or 7 years ahead of where Elon Musk is in terms of my political evolution. But this is why every single day I get out of bed so excited to talk to this audience, because I see the results. I see there's going to be more people voting Republican in 2022 that have never voted Republican for. I really believe that before. I really believe this in most of our lives, because they are tired of the insanity that they are seeing, drumbeat of crazy every single day that Democrats are putting out there.
You see what they're doing to this Princeton professor too, by the way?
Yeah, I saw that.
This is another, we'll tell everybody about this one. Another example of, It doesn't matter if you're right. It doesn't matter if you speak the truth and events bear out what you've said. The left will come for you. They will come after you. They will ruin you. They will destroy you. This is critical to their belief system, because otherwise, to your point, Clay, a lot of people are going to say, yeah, this is not making sense anymore. So they have to make examples. They're going to try to make an example out of Elon. They're going to try to make an example out of this professor.
They rule with fear.
Yeah.
They rule with fear.
We'll tell that story, and there's a whole lot more coming up, too. Friends, got to tell you about the Tunnel to Towers Foundation. Tunnel to Towers broke ground on its Do Good Village in Lando Lakes, Florida. This community is just outside of Tampa, and it's the first of its kind. It's made up of 110 homes for the foundation's program recipients. This is for families who have lost a loved one in our war on terrorism or in the line of duty as a first responder. It's a special place where families know that their neighbors understand and care. It's a community where the children of our nation's fallen or severely injured heroes can grow and experience life together. The foundation's Do Good Village is going to help these families beyond measure. And it's all thanks to an extraordinary donation of many acres of land and your generosity. Help America's greatest heroes and their families heal together. Make the Do Good Village the first of many communities like it. With every mortgage-free home, the foundation makes good on its promise to do good and never forget the sacrifices our heroes have made for our country and our communities. Join us in donating $11 a month to Tunnel to Towers at t2t.org. That's T, the number 2T.org.
The biggest stars in country music will be taking the stage at our 2024 iHeart Country Festival, presented by Capital One.
iHeart Country.
Jason Aldean. Keith Urban. Jelly Roll, Old Dominion, Lady A, Riley Green, Ashley McBride, Brothers Osborne, Walker Hayes, all hosted by Bobby Bones at Austin's Moody Center, Saturday, May 4th. Stream only on Hulu, starting at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores.
Stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on.
But we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.
More Than a Movie is back with season two of the award-winning film podcast, and this time with a lot more movies. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind some of my favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the OG spy kid, Alexa Penavega.
You had Carla Gugino, who's the coolest mom ever. You had Antonio, who's handsome, amazing, charismatic. And then Carmen and Juni. I felt like a lot of other kids felt like this could be me.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Every episode will feature interviews with the biggest actors, directors, writers, and producers behind your favorite films and tap into the history of Latinos in film. Listen to More Than a Movie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back in, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton Show. We're talking about Elon Musk trying to be silenced because he has the audacity to actually share content-neutral beliefs as it pertains to Twitter. Well, Howard Dean, remember him? The scream heard around the world back in, what was that, 2004 in the primaries, if I remember correctly? Well, he's now saying Fox News should be boycotted because, quote, they're the enemy of the United States.
The guy's nuts. I mean, really? You're going to take this seriously in any way? But he's dangerous because he's got a lot of people who believe in this nonsense. I actually think he's crazy, but he's malevolently crazy, and he's a danger to the United States of America. And since we can't take him off the air, we ought to boycott Fox. And I've had nothing to do with Fox for many, many years. These people mean to harm the United States of America. And they're far worse than either what Carlson was saying there. This is a bad guy, and Fox is a bad company, and they ought to be treated accordingly. They are the enemy of the United States of America.
I mean, Buck, I work at Fox, right? Fox bought my company. I know everyone who runs Fox well. They are phenomenal people. If you guys out there are listening to us right now. If we bought the Fox execs on, and we brought certainly Tucker, and we've had Sean Hannity on this show, the idea that you have political officials demanding that stations be taken off the air, that hosts not be allowed to do their shows, goes to the point that we started with Elon, which is the Democrat Party has embraced a level of censorship that hasn't existed in most of our lives in America. We've never seen this before.
We are watching a route in progress, not just a political route, but an ideological route. The Biden administration is an abject failure. It's obvious. It's undeniable. Everyone listening to this knows it. And even some people listening who are perhaps former Democrats. And by the way, welcome. Jump on in. The Clay and Buck water is warm for you.
I've been there. I had to make that transition.
And even those folks listening to us know that we are speaking the truth when we say this administration is failing. And even worse than that, in a sense, the ideas behind the failures are bad. They are wrong. They are not helpful to the country. And so that's why, Clay, I think we're seeing such obvious desperation to exactly what you said, which is this censorious impulse that they have, the desire to shut it down. It's like they're losing the game so badly that they want to flip the switch and turn the floodlights off so no one can see what's going on.
They're the kid who takes the ball and leaves. Yep. If you remember when you were a kid, the kid who brings the ball, the kickball, the wiffle ball, whatever it might be, when he starts to lose, he walks away. By the way, I'm jealous of my 11-year-old. Can I say this? I was talking to him the other day, Buck. I said, man, you're really tan already, considering it's only like May 15th. And he said to me, yeah, Dad, that's because I get to play wiffle ball with my friends every day after school. And I'm going to lie, I got so jealous that he gets to play wiffle ball every day. He's got a better life than me. Probably you guys too. Legacy Box. Look, they are going to hook you up and make sure that your family's legacy, your memorable friendships, your memorable family moments, they're preserved forever. They have 200 technicians working in large facilities in my home state of Tennessee, right in Chattanooga, where my mom was born and raised. They've got the best technology at their fingertips. They'll take all your videotapes, your Super 8 films. They digitize them by hand, stay in touch with you along the way, and they make sure that you have your memories preserved forever. You need to get hooked up now. Here's how you do it. Get started future-proofing your memories today so you can gather the family and begin the trip down memory lane. Go to legacybox.com/clay for 40% off your first order. Buy today. Exclusive offer, legacybox.com/clay. 40% off today.
Welcome back to the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show. 800-282-2882 on the lines. Try to get some of your calls before we have our slew of phenomenal guests today joining us later on in the program. But we've got a lot to talk to you about right up front here. First off, this. Now, you may say, some professor at Princeton, why do I care? Let me tell you the story here quickly, and Clay and I'll break down what's really happening. So, you will recall, because I refuse to let this go, just like they're wrong about the masks and they've been wrong about vaccine mandates and all these other things, now that we actually have the data, BLM was disastrous for the country as a political movement. There's really no data you can point to that does not support that notion, which is that it made people less safe. It meant that there were more and disproportionately more young minority males, but more people overall killed. Crime went up in city after city. The data is in. And BLM and the Democrat left's approach to law enforcement and systemic racism and the need for all of the apologizing and all this other stuff was just bad for everybody, bad for the whole country. And it was used to mobilize Democrats in an election year against Donald Trump, of course. And unfortunately, well, we all know who's sitting in the Oval Office right now. So with that in mind, there were some who spoke out during it. This Princeton professor is one of them. His name is Joshua Katz. Now, Princeton University, you all know, is one of the big three Ivies and one of the most elite, for whatever that's worth now. It doesn't really mean anything anymore, to be honest with you. Elite universities in the country. And this guy is a tenured professor, which, as Clay knows, getting fired as a tenured professor,
virtually impossible,
basically have to commit serious plagiarism, a felony, serious sexual crime of some kind. It's very hard to get, you know, like vehicular manslaughter while you're drunk might get your tenure removed. But I mean, in general, you're not getting fired if you have tenure, unless you speak out against BLM. So Princeton, which is a university that has a whole street devoted to multi-million dollar mansions that are run by the kids, known as eating clubs. So it's a very elitist institution, but it's also quite woke. They had an effort underway from the faculty to pay black professors more than their, as a matter of open policy, we're going to pay black professors more than white professors to make up for historical discrimination and give them more leave time, more paid days off.
Yeah.
And this professor said, that's not fair. It's actually racial discrimination. It's actually unconstitutional. And on top of that, he didn't want a special committee to be formed of some students, I believe, and faculty to judge racial infractions on campus, separate from the normal disciplinary process, which already, I mean, you know, if you call someone a racial slur, you're basically going to get kicked out of school. That already exists. So this was going to be looking for more gray area racially. And he said, that's a terrible idea. Faculty freaked out at him, of course. Students started having sit-ins and protests. And Clay, now the president of Princeton University is going to the board to demand that this guy be fired. Not for this, and this just reminds me of the Elon situation. I'll just throw anything you can. But for a consensual relationship that he had with a 21-year-old junior student in 2006, which he already faced discipline for. They suspended him for a year. There was no sexual misconduct. She did not want this charge to be brought at all. But they went after him on it. And now they're reopening it. They're going to fire him. Because this is how the left plays the game, folks. Speak out against BLM's excesses. They ruin your career. They ruin your life.
Yeah. And this is what cancel culture, why cancel culture is so toxic in so many different ways. Not this in particular story, but just that there are very few people who don't have something in their background that they are worried about becoming a major story. And this is what they do to try to enforce silence. Not necessarily, although sometimes people who, my belief is, Buck, the louder you yell oftentimes in favor of something, the more you're trying to cover up something in your past. And this is just an example of an institution of higher learning that should be committed to truth no matter what. And Buck, the idea of paying someone more specifically because of their race, or giving them more time off specifically because of their race. We have a word for treating someone differently. It's racist, right? And this is one of those cases. And I hope by this fall, we're going to see an end to much of it, because Harvard is on the docket in the Supreme Court right now over its admissions policies, not because of how they're treating white people, but because they are discriminating against Asian people. It's, and this is also interesting because the Ivy League schools have an incredible history of discriminating against Jewish people, right? Back in the day, the reason why they implemented, and a lot of people don't know this, SATs and ACTs and everything else, was because they were overwhelmingly discriminating against Jewish students. And so they decided they wanted to have a way to compare students on an even playing field. And now, the people who dominate on standardized testing as a group are Asian. And if you go look at the rates at which Asian students are being admitted, they're being definitely discriminated against. And the people who are benefiting the most over this Asian discrimination is black and Hispanic students. And so the Asian students have filed a lawsuit saying, hey, wait a minute, this is the next front in this sort of racial discrimination. And I think these Ivy League schools are going to lose, and it's going to be a substantial cultural shift.
The current left-wing position, Democrat position, the social justice position when it comes to universities, whether it's Harvard, Princeton, you name it, you know, great state schools that are very competitive, is that if you are a Vietnamese immigrant whose parents came here with, you know, $5 in their pocket, and you apply to Harvard, you should be pushed in, pushed out of the category that you'd be in based on your grades, your you know, extracurriculars, etc., the objective metrics in favor of, let's just say, a black student who went to Deerfield or Exeter or one of these $60,000 a year prep schools, who perhaps has a parent who's a corporate, you know, dad and mom, corporate lawyer, Wall Street executive, making a couple million dollars a year, based exclusively on racial differentiation. That is the actual position of the left, is that the wealthy black student in this case. Now, you could say, well, of course, that's a specific. Yeah, but that is how they feel. So a Vietnamese immigrant, for example, is discriminated against in favor of a black, of a, well, even if it's a, you know, a middle class family, it doesn't matter. The point is somebody who has clearly more advantages, but because of skin color is discriminated against. That is, I have friends who worked, not really anymore, in admissions at Columbia University, at Amherst College, where I went, and I've talked about this, Clay, 100% this is what happens.
Racial discrimination.
And then these schools pretend like, no, that's not it. It's a holistic admissions process. Like, we're all idiots.
Well, and I think this case is going to be big because of the impact there. And it also starts to jumble all of the affirmative action concepts in general. Remember, affirmative action was never supposed to exist forever. And we're coming up on 60 plus years now of affirmative action existing. And even in those cases that were decided, I believe, back in 03 or 04, because I was in law school when those cases were decided, they said, you know, we hope that affirmative action is not going to be necessary in the years ahead.
That was the Sandra Day O'Connor line, I think.
That's
it was
right.
Rutter v. Bollinger.
And it's going to be, I believe, struck down as a part of this. Now, to your point, Buck, there still is an awful lot of leeway in admissions where a lot of these schools are going to be able to figure out ways to still get the cosmetically diverse classrooms that they so desire. But the bigger issue here that remains really paramount to me is almost no poor people ever get to go to these schools. Like, from a socioeconomic level, regardless of what your background is, the overwhelming wealth that is required to typically get into an Ivy League school is really the lack of diversity, right? Because even if you're up to your point, even if you're black or Hispanic, a huge percentage of those kids are coming from families that are well above average socioeconomically. And so if you're really wanting diversity, socioeconomic diversity to me is more important than cosmetic diversity.
But just to bring it full circle here, for a place like Princeton University with a massive endowment, formerly the College of New Jersey, by the way, that's what it was originally called. But for a place like Princeton to turn on a tenured professor in this way for speaking out against BLM in a way that was principled, and now, as we see, also based on what's happened with BLM, correct.
Yep.
Just goes to show you they need to make examples of people still. They cannot win the argument, so they want to destroy people, whether it's destroying Elon or destroying this professor at Princeton. If you deviate from the script and you're in a position of power, you have a platform, you have some authority, they must ruin you. That is the attitude. Doesn't matter what they have to do to get there. This is what we're up against, folks.
There's no doubt. And there's a lot of people even at Princeton who would have agreed with that professor, to your point, who are going to say, hey, it's not worth risking my career, not worth risking my tenure. I'm just going to shut up about this issue. You can count on a couple of things in life. One of them is, if you own a car and you've probably been through this, it's going to break down and need service. And it's probably going to happen at the worst possible time. Just when you think, hey, we got the financial house in order, what happens? Something goes wrong with the car. And that is why you can help to balance these slings and arrows of life with CarShield. Get hooked up right now, whether your car has 5,000 miles on it or 150,000 miles. When you need a repair, you don't have to deal with all the paperwork or the headaches. All you got to do, choose the mechanic, boom, CarShield administrators, they handle the rest. CarShield, coast-to-coast roadside assistance as well. Got kids. Maybe you got your wife, maybe it's for you, and you're worried about getting a flat tire, having something happen. You got rental car options, trip reimbursements, no extra cost. Get coverage today, and this is great. You can lock in your price, never going to go up. That means as long as you own your car, no matter how old it is, you're protected from the rising cost of parts and repairs for your vehicle. Today, I'm asking you to go to carshield.com/clay. That's my name, C-L-A-Y. carshield.com/clay. You can also call 800-321-3670. Save 10% on your plan. That's carshield.com/clay. 800-321-3670. Save 10% today. CarShield.com/Clay.
The biggest stars in country music will be taking the stage at our 2024 iHeart Country Festival, presented by Capital One.
iHeart Country.
Jason Aldean. Keith Urban. Jelly Roll. Old Dominion. Lady A. Riley Green. Ashley McBride. Brothers Osborne. Walker Hayes. All hosted by Bobby Bones at Austin's Moody Center. Saturday, May 4th. Stream only on Hulu. Starting at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores.
Stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on.
But we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.
More Than a Movie is back with season two of the award-winning film podcast, and this time with a lot more movies. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind some of my favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the OG spy kid, Alexa Penavega.
You had Carlo Gugino, who's the coolest mom ever. You had Antonio, who's handsome, amazing, charismatic. And then Carvin and Junie. I felt like a lot of other kids felt like this could be me.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Every episode will feature interviews with the biggest actors, directors, writers, and producers behind your favorite films and tap into the history of Latinos in film. Listen to More Than a Movie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back in, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton Show, Friday edition of the program, by the way. Hope all of you are having a fantastic start to your weekend hanging out with us. Encourage you to go download the podcast. Make sure you don't miss a moment. We got a bunch of guests coming in the next couple of hours, by the way. Let me give you a rundown here. Ben Dominic should be great from The Federalist, formerly. Tell us a story about a ridiculous lawsuit that he was involved. Senator Josh Hawley of Missouri and Jonathan Isaac, who refused to kneel for the national anthem in the NBA. First round NBA draft pick, plays for the Orlando Magic. I know we got a lot of people who listen down in the Orlando area. He's got a new book out called Stand, I believe, about why he chooses to stand for the national anthem and refuse to kneel. I think that is going to be a really enjoyable interview for many of you headed into the weekend. Also, news breaking, by the way, Buck, and this is fairly significant. In the last hour, Robbie Mook, who is a former manager involved in high-level Hillary Clinton campaign-related events, testified in this Sussman trial. And I'm reading directly from Brooke Singman, who is with Fox News Digital, does good work there. Robbie Mook testifies, Hillary Clinton herself approved the dissemination of info, I'm reading from her tweet, alleging a covert communications channel between the Trump Organization and Russia's Alpha Bank to the media, despite campaign officials not being, quote, totally confident in its legitimacy. Again, let me repeat this. Hillary Clinton herself, according to her own campaign, directly approved the leaks to the media alleging that the Trump Organization and Russia were involved in secret covert communication, despite the fact that the campaign itself is saying they were not totally confident it was true. Seems like kind of a significant detail, Buck, to tie directly to Hillary Clinton over this Russia collusion mess. Where did it start? How did we get here? The Hillary Clinton campaign itself testifying that Hillary was giving the okay to leak this information.
Hillary Clinton ran the most consequential political dirty trick, weaponized the intelligence community with the full actual collusion of the journalistic apparatus against her political opponent and got away with it, in essence, until now. and even got a special counsel. And I tell everybody this, they weren't able to get Trump because there was nothing to get. There was nothing there. But they managed to use this as a weapon on its own. The process was the punishment of the special counsel, of the Mueller probe, of having people in that White House, having to get attorneys. Some of them were young staffers without a big bankroll. They had to get attorneys because they were worried. And the whole point of the Mueller probe was to just find people for the most mundane process crime you possibly could, and then have the Washington Post blast, oh, someone lied under oath. I mean, you know, they got people for lying about not doing anything, but people were terrified, and they either misremembered or they just tried to shade the truth, and Mueller just hammered them, nailed them. Notice, in this case, with a D.C.-based jury, the ultimate failsafe of the deep state is the jury pool of Washington, D.C., which is 90%, unfortunately, and you've lived there, I've lived there twice, full of MSNBC-watching, woke, left-wing lunatics. D.C. is full of that.
We used to call it forum shopping. Lawyers still do. If you were going to pick the best possible jury to have for this case from a Democrat perspective, you've got it in Washington, D.C. So we can share some of the details that are coming out under oath. I think the most significant part of this is just getting all of these officials under oath and getting them to tell their stories publicly. I mean, this is, to me, a pretty significant revelation that Hillary Clinton's own campaign is now directly tying her to spreading the lie of Russia collusion and Russian involvement.
Right. I mean, we've known this. Campaign. This has been clear. I mean, Trump has been saying it himself for years, but this is beyond any doubt admission firsthand from the highest source you could have. Other short of Hillary Clinton herself saying, yeah, I gave the order. This is her top lieutenant effectively saying, yeah, she gave the order for the disinformation operation against Trump. And honestly, the Department of Justice owes Donald Trump an apology over this.
Yeah.
The intelligence community, which I used to be a part of, owes Donald Trump an apology over this. It's never going to happen, but they owe him one.
No doubt. When we come back, by the way, into the second hour, like I said, we got some great guests coming your way in hour two and hour three. But there's a lot of craziness out there right now, Buck, surrounding the fear, the palpable fear that is trying to be spread as Roe v. Wade theoretically going to be overturned in June. Some of these clips that we're going to play for you, I think, are going to even stun what is being said about this.
And this law in Alabama that Alabama's passing. Alabama's going for banning abortion, my friends. I mean, they're going to protect life.
Oklahoma just did it. Yeah.
So we're going to talk more about what that means and what that fight looks like. So stick around.
Clay Travis and Buck Sexton on the front lines of truth.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The biggest stars in country music will be taking the stage at our 2024 iHeart Country Festival, presented by Capital One.
iHeart Country.
Jason Aldean. Keith Urban. Jelly Roll. Old Dominion. Lady A. Riley Green. Ashley McBride. Brothers Osborne. Walker Hayes. All hosted by Bobby Bones at Austin's Moody Center. Saturday, May 4th. Stream only on Hulu. Starting at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores.
Stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on.
But we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.